fit, active, healthy, happy, enjoying the prime of your life. Looking out for your health and wellness, this is Health Talk with Fred Lowry from Lowry Drug in Statesville. Call now to ask Fred your health questions, 704-873-1400, 704-873-1400. You can also visit Fred at his store, conveniently located on Harkness Road in Statesville.
Good afternoon. This is Fred Lowry. This program is pre-recorded for March the 29th on Friday. I'm pharmacist and doctor of natural medicine. This is Health Talk. This program is intended to share knowledge and information based on my research and experience. It's not intended to offer advice and does not replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. Your daily choices have more to do with your health than anyone in the healthcare field. My hopes are that this show will empower you with knowledge to take a more proactive approach to your health. So I apologize to my listeners. Last week we did a rerun of the Aquatree Garden program. Last week on Thursday morning about 11 o'clock, I had cataract surgery and went back to the doctor the next morning at 8 and got the eye patch taken off and was back at work at 9. So, but by the end of the day, I just couldn't quite, didn't have the energy, I think, to come do a good program for you. So in the news, on the 22nd, apparently the U.S. Food and Drug Administration agreed to remove the social post urging people not to take ivermectin for COVID-19. So some physicians sued the FDA, and they decided to settle. They, of course, were in the wrong for intervening in a physician choice for a medication that has been around for many, many years. You know, they will remove a post about why you should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19. They also agreed to delete multiple social media posts. You may remember, you're not a horse, you're not a cow, seriously, y'all, stop it. I guess the y'all part came from the CDC being in Atlanta, perhaps, I don't know. But so the FDA basically has lost its position on the ivermectin issue with physicians, and I think this is a victory for every physician and patient in the United States, as they are allowed to prescribe drugs that have been previously approved by the FDA, regardless of the fact that whether or not they were approved for a particular use or not. Also in the news, and this is very interesting because it does kind of tag on the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration. General Mills has introduced a new loaded cereal, that's the name of it, loaded, with its favorite brands of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cocoa Puffs, and Trix, but with a vanilla cream center. And living cereal rich is about living life to its fullest, that in quotes, and bringing maximalism to your breakfast table. I'm going to read that again. Living cereal rich is about living life to the fullest and bringing maximalism to your breakfast table. It's time for cereal fans to raise a spoon to a bold, unapologetic breakfast cereal. The Get Cereal Rich With Me collection pairs loaded cereals with the over-the-top accessories. And so it's a cereal-rich concept. At the same time, there's an organization, Moms Across America, that did some testing on this product here. So the Trix loaded both 17 grams of whole grains per serving and 12 vitamins and minerals. When they tested this, they found that the artificially flavored, keyword there, Cream-filled breakfast food also contains measurable levels of aluminum, cadmium, arsenic, glycophosphates like Roundup, and pesticides, which are shown to be harmful to humans, obviously. So the loaded cereal, this organization was a little bit taken back because the company had previously seemed to be very committed to supporting regenerative organic agriculture. And so they, when they launched this food, it's really, I guess, kind of a status quo now because they found traces of 6 pesticides. 2 of them were detected in higher amounts, and one of them is a broad-spectrum fungicide that causes liver problems, endocrine disruption, and thyroid cancer. So, you know, a lot of the grains that grow, they use fungicides as a spray to keep fungus, obviously, from growing. I've been told that that's to keep the plant healthy. There's also a new chemical that I was not well versed in. It's a man-made pesticide that has synergistic activity. In other words, it helps enhance the potency of pesticides to kill insects. This product is exempt from the EPA's maximum residue limits, which determine the amount of pesticides that are allowed to remain in food. So another point there, there are levels of limits for pesticides in foods. So this this product is basically freely permitted in cereals consumed daily by children and adolescents across the United States. So it's there's no limits to that. The heavy metals kind of interesting here. They're aluminum, cadmium, lead, arsenic. In the samples of the Trix loaded cereal, and in some cases they exceeded the EPA's allowable levels in drinking water. The samples contain 21 to 23 parts per billion of lead, which is more than double the EPA's allowable level. And by the way, children can absorb lead a lot more actively than adults. And lead also takes the place of calcium in the bones. So that could obviously create problems later. Cadmium levels were 400% higher than the EPA's allowable level. Aluminum, the EPA's allowable level there is 50 to 200 parts per billion. Samples 1 and 2 contain over 2,900 to 3,500 parts per billion of aluminum, respectively. So we went from 50 on the low end to almost 3,000 and 3,500 on the top end. Aluminum is a very well-known neurotoxin. So here we have a new product. The FDA is, of course, in charge of this. Glycophosphates. I need a sip of water here, pardon me. Glycophosphate had 15 to 17 parts per billion. Of course, it's well known that Monsanto, now Bayer, has agreed to pay roughly $11 billion, pardon, to individuals who with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and other related cancers. So stay tuned. We're coming up on a break, and we'll have more of Health Talk. This is Fred Lowry. Back. This is Fred Lowry, and this is Health Talk. Lowry Drug on Harkness Road in Statesville was established in 1959. We're a traditional family pharmacy with a state-of-the-art compounding laboratory We offer a full line of medical equipment, supplies, including CPAP, scooters, oxygen, lift chairs. We also have a full line of supplements, nutritionals, herbs, essential oils, homeopathics, and more. Come see us. So we were just talking about the cereal and the food, you know, and the other thing about the cereals, a lot of them have dyes, colors. These are all not positive things for children. I've had mothers that told me that they eliminated dyes and products and actually saw improvement in behavior in children. So I've never really gotten a lot of feedback on that per se, but that's always a recommendation, I think, for children that have attention deficit or learning issues. Cleaning up the diet is certainly important for adults as well, but particularly the kind of foods you feed kids is really important. And some parents are looking to avoid and or eliminate medications for attention deficit, but you know the thing is you do have to pay attention to that lifestyle. So pardon, one of the things that kind of interests me in a way is what makes people want to change, what's the motivation for changing the style of your life. You know, as we in life we kind of strive for balance, a balance between work and family and all the things that we call life. So, you know, some people are motivated. Some people become motivated. You know, one of the questions that comes up is, you know, what are you trading your health for? Some people view changing your lifestyle and health sometimes as a sacrifice, when in fact it's just the opposite. You can be sacrificing your health for the choices that you make. So, you know, what are you trading for your comforts? One of the things that I'm really impressed with is that humans are very adaptable to both positive and negative influences in life. So things that happen to us related to health, it could be an accident, whatever, we seem to be able to adapt and also most of the time feel like we're okay. Now, that's not always the case, but some individuals kind of reach what I may call a comfortable level of misery. And so as we maybe digress in terms of our health, it's very often a gradual process. We don't even particularly notice it. And so, you know, maybe you make some changes and you get good benefits, but you're still not quite there. You know, and part of this has to do with your daily ritual, how you wake up, you know, the things that you do. Ritual is important, particularly in creating habits that can be helpful to you. So it's a question, what does it take to motivate you to make improvements in your health? And this is something that has interested me. I think everybody has an interest to change their health, but there becomes an action point there. You know, how are you going to do that? So the individuals that I work with in consultation, they've already taken that action point. You know, they call me, they make an appointment, they fill out some paperwork. So they're motivated to do some things. They may not know why. So they may not know what to do, but they kind of know the why. So, you know, one of the things is knowing what you want. A great example of that, people would always say, I want to lose weight. And so weight might be a number for you, but it's also, could be a picture. So how you looked at one point in time. So I also think it's important to know your why. You know, why would you do this? There's obviously we intuitively know that, well, we want to live as healthy as we can for whatever time we've got left on the planet. But, you know, part of that, I think, comes down to your purpose. What's your purpose? Sometimes it's to serve others. And it may be that it's important to serve yourself in order to be able to do that. One of the principles that hospice uses is that you have to take care of the caregiver as well as the person that needs the care. So there's sometimes an inner driving force. Sometimes it becomes a spiritual thing. Your service to community. It may be service to God. Your driving force. And so understanding that, and part of this is going to boil down to creating a plan for yourself in order to make these changes. So, and when you're doing that, I think it's important to sit down and write things out, you know, what the things that you want, what your purpose is, the why. You know, for myself, I want to be as active and creative and as I can for as long as I can before it's time to leave this planet. So one of the things that people look at is what are their obstacles, you know. If you're looking at just obstacles, you know, and not being able to move because of that, that can be a freeze point for you. And I think it's important to identify obstacles so you can actually address them. So there are obstacles that we create ourselves, and there's also obstacles that are based on our circumstances. Could be part of your past, your responsibilities, maybe the energy that you have and your mindset. And here, self-talk is really important. So anything you phrase in the negative is that. You know, so as an example, if you say, "I'm not going to eat sugar," the last two words you said was "eat sugar." So a better way to phrase that might be, "I'm going to make healthier choices." So there's things like that. Something that people also, in a negative way, it's not meant to be negative. But if you say, "I'm going to try," well, trying and saying that is basically a little bit self-defeating, because it does give you an excuse if you fail or you don't reach your goal. Then, you know, you can say, "Well, I tried." So there's sometimes there's financial obstacles, and that may be, you know, people say, "Well, I can't afford the food." You know, there are things you can't afford, and there's plenty of things that are not expensive. The other obstacle could be your addictions. And addictions, people think about those as mostly the socially or economically unacceptable, but there's plenty of those other addictions that include foods. And so changing your diet really becomes one of those pieces. People can be addicted to wheat and gluten. People can be addicted to sugar. You can be addicted to dairy products. There's plenty of things out there. So identifying your resources, you know, which are your resources are your goals, your knowledge, your spiritual connection, perhaps your grit. Another thing is hope, and there's always hope in being able to make changes. I can't tell you how far you can get, but I do know that you can improve your situation. So if you make a plan, you really have to pick a time and give attention to your wellness. Identify the changes that you need to make and make them as you're able. So people out there that are starting to make changes, you're not going to be at the level that I have reach, not that I have reached the pinnacle, but you know that I've made changes gradually in my ability to be well. And as I identify them, I go ahead and make the changes. It's a continuous improvement process, and it requires a little persistence. So we're going to talk about next in the next break things about the basics. So I know you hear me talk about a lot of individual things, and I'm just going to put together some of the basics for you that that are important for your health, the foundational pieces, if you will. And it's kind of a brief overview, but if you look at this, I think there are things that you can do that don't really cost that much, that you can improve your health. You know, a lot of these things really are quite free. So as we're looking at this, be thinking about that. Be thinking about the things that you want to accomplish, the things that you want to improve on. You know, your physical ability, your flexibility, your ability to think with a clear head. You know, all of this really comes down to the environment that you create, both internally and externally. So I hope you'll use this little piece here to think about what you can improve on. Sit down, write it down, make a plan, make sure it's realistic for you. And if you need help, you can always ask for it. This is Fred Lowry. This is Health Talk. And stay with us. We'll be right back. Back. This is Fred Lowry, pharmacist and doctor of natural medicine. This is Health Talk. I'm here with producer Joe Berg. Thank you for being here.
Oh, Joe, thanks for being here.
Yeah. So, Joe, you had a question.
Yes. So you talk about some of the steps that you need to take to change your health and start to improve things. What would you say would be priority number one in starting that process?
Okay. Well, you know, I think everybody has different priorities per se, but the first thing I would say is just identifying that you do need to make a change. And you know, we do that all the time. You know, I need to do this or I need to do that, and you know, that I think it's the action point, the implementation of it, that happens, you know. And so that's why I say health is really an ongoing process. You know, the persistence to identify things and make changes. You know, you can't make changes all at once, you know, and you can't possibly do all the things that I do to maintain my health just right out of the gate. I mean, it's just too much, you know. So this has been a continuous process for me as I identify things and try to change them. And so that becomes part of my lifestyle as well, as improving that, you know. And so I don't know if that helps or not, but.
Well, yeah. Isn't it that mantra of the first step is admitting?
Yeah. Admit you have a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, in not the same light, in a different way, not that you have a problem, but admit that you need to make changes.
Yeah. And we all do. And it's not that I've cornered the market on that either, you know, but I continue to try and do that. And part of it is achieving balance between, you know, work, family, all the things that we all have to deal with. But any type of, you know, whether it's business or your personal life, your relationships, sometimes it is a continuous process, you know, for improvement. So as we look at the basics, the first thing is, and what we're talking about here now really is the environment, your internal environment, your external environment. And we think about that sometimes as terrain. So if you have, you know, the first step is, what kind of water are you consuming? What are you drinking? Are you drinking soft drinks? Are you drinking water, a lot of coffee? You know, so water is number one. There's plenty of things that you can do to improve water. We've talked about water filtration. which I think is very important, given the environmental concerns that we have now. You know, any kind of filtration, you can get a Brita filter, you can get the Santavia pitcher filters that we have, or the countertop version. You know, we've talked about putting water in a jar in the sun. You know, if you do that and you crack the lid on it a little bit, you know, the chlorine's going to vaporize off of that, so you're not getting that chlorine in your body as well. So, basics, water. We usually say weight divided by two is the number of ounces you should drink. Now, that varies plus or minus based on activity, and sometimes, you know, if you're sweating more, you might need more water. Number two is a big one, is food. You know, avoiding processed food, eating whole foods, what you can afford. And, you know, the subject comes up sometimes, you know, what can you afford? And I think a lot of times we're eating, you know, lots of food, but it's not nutrient dense. So the point is, you know, you want nutrient dense food. If you look at a box of crackers or a box of cereal or anything like that, if you look at it on the grocery store shelf, you'll see the price per pound is pretty expensive, and you're not really getting a lot of bang for your buck. You know, eating what you can afford, it obviously becomes a factor for people. And so the example of that would be, well, you know, I wouldn't recommend necessarily eating hot dogs all the time. But if you're going to eat a hot dog, you know, find the best quality hot dog that you can afford. So there are all kinds of things, but, you know, basically you want whole foods. The way they're presented in nature, real meat, real vegetables, real fruit. So in avoiding the ultra-processed foods, wheat, oats is really problematic. The seed oils are tremendously problematic for your health in a huge way. They cause inflammation, cell dysfunction. Seed oils being canola, soy, corn, any kind of vegetable oil, those type of things. So that's a complete stop. These are things that you can change right away. And if you look at products look at the ingredients, start looking at the ingredients, and you'll find these products, these seed oils in most everything that's processed, anything in a bottle or a box, probably not a good choice. And then also we want to look at how we cook foods, and I'm going to have a little more on this later, but microwaving is a bad idea. The plastics that are in that, you know, they're getting in your food. So you want to cook with real food, real heat. We could go back to the water thing. The flimsy plastic bottles, the bottled water, lots of microplastics in those. So a lot of this is just part of our environment. So the other internal thing, when we talk about water and food, we also would talk about how we think, negative thoughts, positive thoughts. It creates a tremendous impact on your body. A positive thought, let's just say think about something cute that a child did, just it's hormone integration. If you think about something that bothers you, that is total hormone disruption. It makes you weak. It's a burden upon you. So this is another thing to think about, maybe putting on your list if you have that. Externally, in terms of your terrain, we talk about where you live, your cleanliness practice. What do you watch? What do you hear? What do you read? Who do you spend time with? Where do you spend your time? Are you outside much? Are you inside? What does that look like? Joe, what's you're inside a lot.
Yeah, especially being in the studio, I'm inside a lot, but I try to get outside and spend some time in the sun as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's important. So if you have a lunch break, you know, if you can go outside, that would be a good thing. You know, particularly winter months, you know, I work inside, but I try to get outside as much as I can on the weekends, and I am enjoying these longer days now. So spending your time outside, another thing about your environment, your sleep environment, your house environment, we've talked about this many times, is decrease your electromagnetic fields that you're around, the Wi-Fi. It's like having a cell tower in your room there, in your bedroom. And while you have no idea how it really affects you, there's plenty of research that shows it's a negative. So this is something that you can turn that off at night, put your cell phone on airplane mode. You can also buy shields like the Safe Shield, Safe Sleeve for your cell phone. All of these things become very important. So we're coming up on a break. We're going to talk. We've just got a few more points on that, and then we're going to move on to another subject. Stay with us. This is Fred Lowry, pharmacist and doctor of natural medicine, and this is Health Talk. This is Fred Lowry, and this is Health Talk. We're talking about the basics of health and making changes in your life. So the other thing we might get to is exercise. So everybody has different levels of what that means and what you can do. So if you're able to, let's just say you can walk to the mailbox and back. You know, you can build on things like that. You know, certainly walking is a great thing to do. You get out in nature. You're getting some sunshine. You're separating yourself at some level from the world that you live in. You're not watching the angry television or whatever. So that's important, and then you've got exercise of the body, flexibility, strength, and then also exercising your mind. So that becomes important, having an interest, and that might go back to, you know, the earlier part about what's the style of your life. What do you want to do? What do you want to learn? And I think learning is a lifelong skill that is very important, and there's so much out there that you can learn about. And of course, the more you learn, the more you realize how much you do not know. So that's something to consider in taking up. You know, some people maybe look at taking up a musical instrument. The other thing that's important is, you know, that we've seen in the past with the isolation from the COVID thing, you know, it's important to be around people and have some kind of relationship, whether that be, you know, going to out to exercise, walking downtown, going to church, whatever fits your program. Then supplement basics is pretty simple. You know, a good multivitamin, fish oil, vitamin C, and perhaps vitamin D3, and along with vitamin K. And that would be another topic of discussion maybe for later. But those are things, you know, you're not getting your nutrients in your food as much as, you know, you should be, or hopefully could be. And all of that has great value. So I want to go back to talking about the microwave thing. It reminds me, there was a school project, science project, where this little girl was taking water from her faucet, and she was microwaving some of it. And then she was also just, the control was not microwaving the water. And she'd let the water cool down, and then she would had different plants that she would pour it on. And eventually, the plant of the microwave water actually died. So it's kind of interesting that we think about water as H2O, but it has a tremendous amount of structure. We've talked about water in the past and how important that is. So when you're microwaving things, you're actually changing the nutritional value of the food, the components of it. It may still taste okay. But, all these convenience foods are in plastics. And we've got microwavable bags. You've got boiling bag situations, so you don't have to clean your pot. You can get frozen vegetables as an example. And so your food prep time is diminished, but you're really another thing. We're actually trading our health in the process. So, pardon. One of the things that happens is that the chemicals that are in the plastics, obviously, are getting into the food, and they're actually seeing never before identified compounds that are, as an example, created when potatoes are put in plastic and nuked. So apparently, I haven't seen this, but apparently they have the potatoes that are in plastic that you can just heat up in the microwave now. And so they were tested, and they're actually found that there's a significant migration of plastic chemicals occurring when the potatoes are microwaved in plastic. There's a pronounced migration of polypropylene glycol polymers from the bag into the potatoes. So it's actually combining with the maltose which is the starch in the potato. So this is a thing that thing that doesn't really cost anything. You can cook food without a microwave, by the way. You can cook potatoes in the skillet. You could bake them. There's all kinds of ways to deal with this. So, as it turns out, these microplastics and nanoplastics, nano-sized particles, are found in reusable food pouches, including those used for baby foods. And so all this stuff is getting into the food. After about 3 minutes of microwave heating, some plastics release up to 4.2 million microplastics and 2.11 billion nanoplastic particles in just 1 square centimeter of area. That's mind-blowing, I think. So I tell you, one of the things that comes to mind, too, is that how many people actually heat up baby bottles in the microwave? Versus using a bottle warmer. But even bottle warmers, if you have plastic bottles, which are quite convenient, there are some that are obviously better than others. You can get these plastics in those as well. So as it turns out, storing containers in the refrigerator, food in plastic, and room temperatures can also release microplastics and nanoparticles over a period of time. So it's a lot more gradual. So the number they came up here was over a 6 month period. Billions of microplastics. So these plastics deteriorate with sunlight, by the way. That's how they have some biodegradability, although that's a little bit shaky there, I'd say. So Consumer Reports tested 85 foods using 2 to 3 samples, and they were looking at bisphenols and phthalates that are endocrine disrupting chemicals. They change the way your hormones are expressed. And this BPA was found in 79% of the samples, including fruits, vegetables, milk, meat, seafood, baby food, and others. There's also, you know, the potential of, you know, there's, you know, plastics are just everywhere. It's just ubiquitous. You know, some of the gardening uses plastic, you know, to keep from having to do weeding and spray weeds, which, you know, you're balancing one thing or another, of course. but pardon, the ramifications of all of these plastics and endocrine disrupting foods are, you know, really, I think, difficult to assess. And, you know, we certainly have things going on in the world related to endocrine disruption, hormone balance. So that, you know, it's quite, and balance is, I think, the key word there. So, you know, one of the things that obviously that you can do is avoiding the cooking of your food in plastics. I would say you might even try to avoid, you know, storing foods in plastics. You know, you can get glass, you can wash them. You know, food is one of the most important things you can do. People sometimes don't like to cook. They'd rather go out to eat, the convenience of that. But it's really not hard. You can learn to do it. I always say that, you know, you basically have the opportunity. If you cook at home and cook good food, you can get what you want. You have save money in doing it. The time involved to actually cook and clean up is probably less time than it takes you to go out and get served and get back home. And the best part about it is the service is excellent. You know, you can always get what you want when you want it. So these are all things to consider. These are some of the foundational pieces of health. Think about you know, what you can do to improve your health and how you're going to continue to do that on a continuous process. And you know, I know it's overwhelming sometimes. Do what you can when you can. Take steps that are realistic, that you have the time to do. I promise you can make improvements. And changing your diet and getting well hydrated really gets you a pretty big bang for the buck. We're coming up on the end of the program. I thank you for listening. Next week we will be back live, and I hope to be talking about some of the vaccination issues that people are facing in this day and age. See you next week.